All right. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, February 19th, 2021. Livvy.
Yes?
Bust out your flippers and your water wings. It's time for some coastal windage. Not only is it wet outside, drippy, but we're going to be talking
technical
about...
Technical term?
Yeah, that is a meteorological term, drippy. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. Ruben Truthmaker here at the mic with my co-host.
Yes.
One and who is that over there?
Who
I can't see.
Be?
There's a plexiglass shield between me and... Well, I was trying to think of an adjective like... The amazing, incredible.
And none came to mind.
What? There was too many. I could not think of the perfect adjective to describe my amazing co-host, Livvy Streetwise. Livvy, good morning.
Good morning, Ruben.
All right, good morning, Coastsiders. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. I don't know if you're aware of this, Coastsiders, but this is the Coastside's own. The Coastside's own. Coastside specific, Coastside local, Coastside focused, call in talk radio show.
Are we on the Coastside?
Aren't we?
I'm just joking. You said it five times.
Well, it's branding, right? Right? I was trying to brand it. Well, I want to emphasize to folks listening because this show does go on khmbradio.com. It goes anywhere in the world with a internet connection. We do occasionally get calls from out of state. So for some reason, somebody's listening not on the Coastside. So they maybe need to know that this is a Coastside. But I want Coastsiders who might be listening to know that this show was inspired by and is for the Coastside and Coastsiders. And that's why it's a call-in show, is so that when we talk about Coastside topics on this show, and we do focus exclusively on Coastside topics, occasionally we will tie those topics to something that's going on in the larger world, but we focus on what is happening on this side of the hill between Pacifica and Pescadero. That's what this show is focused on, and that's why we made it a call-in show, because there's not a lot of outlets for Coastsiders to talk about the Coastside amongst themselves. And so... that's why we started the show. That's why it's a call-in show. If you have something you want to say on one of our topics or anything about Coastside living or being here on the Coastside, yes, it's a drinking game this morning. Every time you hear the word Coastside,
you read my mind.
Take a shot, and anybody listening should already be three sheets to the wind by now. We're 5 minutes into the show. People are under the table right now. Okay, so Coastsiders, give us a call, okay? We want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, we didn't have any calls last week.
We did not?
No, need to make up for it this week.
That happens. I mean, occasionally we'll have shows with no calls, and then sometimes we'll have shows with four or five calls, which is great. I would love to have four or five calls every show, but then we would never get to talk about any
That's
of the
true.
Topics. So, That's you know,
true.
It works out. So 560-9851 is the number to call. And I say to you, Coastsiders, I challenge you right now on this wet day where nobody's out jogging, nobody's out for a wonderful walk at Pillar Point in the drippy fog right now. You're listening to your radio, drinking a cup of coffee. You know what? Pick up the phone and tell us about something that you are thinking about with regard to the Coastside. Okay. Here's our topics for today. Should we ever get to them?
What do you have for us,
yeah,
Ruben?
Should we ever get to them? Sigh and a wipe away of a tear. Local landmark lost. We lost
so sad.
The Andriotti Barn on Kelly Street.
So upset about that.
Last Friday, so we'll talk about that. That's on the sad side, but then to turn that frown right
upside
side up.
Down.
Right side up. I was going to say that, but I don't know. I got disoriented there. We have a courtesy of Coastside Buzz and the Coastal Butterfly. We are reminded of a new idea for a public swimming pool. And, Livvy, I know that's important to you.
I almost fell off my chair when I heard that this was a topic we were going to be talking about today. So, can't wait to talk about the details.
Yes. I mean, I think this design is a couple years old, but it's the first time I've seen it. I am floored. It's amazing. It's an incredible design. Yeah. Sign me up and let's do this. And then... COVID update, which, yeah, you can get all this COVID stuff online, and there's COVID news everywhere, but we're trying to focus on the Coastside. So this is a COVID update for the Coastside, okay? All right. That's what we do on this show. It's Coastside specific. Your Coastsiders, get involved. Give us a call. And while you're thinking about what you want to talk about, think about what you're going to get at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company today. They are open in these trying times 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And it's the usual great food. I was just to punish myself last night after they closed, I was just scrolling through the menu going,
"Oh, Ruben, why did you do that?
I know. I'll take that and that." Because I just wanted to remind myself, again, like kind of just, I don't know. Like
that's self-inflicted pain right
was,
there.
It was. And what are you going to do at 12:30 at night when you're looking at the killer chicken sandwich, which comes, by the way, with the lemon garlic aioli?
See?
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
You don't need to tell me anything more.
Chowder, of course, they have the chowder in the bread bowl. I think that's a new touch they've added.
I think that is a new touch. Or they might have had it for a while, and I just know my limitations and cannot do that, or else you'd have to roll me home. Literally roll me home.
Yeah. Chowder is great, and then you put it in a bread bowl, and it's like,
It's sourdough, isn't it? I think it's like the sourdough. Yeah. It's so good.
Yes. And then the smoked monster burger. I
Come
think
on.
You've talked about
You're
that.
You're killing me.
And it's not my number one go-to thing, but here's where branding helps, because I just want this because of the name, the Yucatan Ceviche.
Oh.
You know, the Yucatan is, it's like grilled. You put grilled in front of Old Shoe, it sounds delicious to me, right? You put blackened in front of anything, it sounds delicious. You put Yucatan in front of anything, and you've got my attention, because
okay.
to me...
Have you never gotten it before?
I've never gotten it, and I've never been to the Yucatan, and those are things that, like...
So there you go. It's a
very
match.
It's very romantic. It's very exciting. It's very mysterious.
Well, I know what will be on your order tonight.
You notice I did not mention my usual, because I always mention that, and these are other
things... You're trying to branch out.
Yes, these are other things they have at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company that are amazing. Also, I want to mention they have... Maybe you've heard this. They have their beers... They have beers there.
I think I heard about that a few hundred times.
Yeah, they've got a new one going based on current events. The Mysterious Monolith.
Whoa.
It's a German-style lager, which is good for me.
I hear the Monolith is going on tour. Is it coming to the...
Well, which one? Remember, there was like three of them?
Exactly. You never know.
You never know
which one will pop up.
Half Moon Bay Brewing Company, Libby just had a great idea for you. It doesn't have to be... I mean, again, there's multiple of these monoliths. Make a monolith, put it into your lobby of your restaurant, and say it's on tour, and it's like it's come... You've got the monolith here in town.
Social media frenzy. And I will also add that today is a perfect day to go, because while it might seem a little gloomy out... The tourists won't be coming in throngs, and we'll have kind of the run of the harbor for the most part. And it's not that bad out. Actually, the rain is supposed to stop, and it should be, you know, nicer by lunch.
Well, and they've got patio dining,
and
obviously.
I think they have a tent now.
That's the thing that I guess a good thing is that all the restaurants now have are patio dining, outdoor dining capable, which means they have shelters put up and heaters.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
Go get yourself a blanket and a warm scarf. Go down to the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company and have a beer and some hot food.
And a million other yummy things.
And enjoy living on the coastside.
I tell you, we could make our whole hour about the Brewcast.
I know, right? I mean,
this
like...
This has been a long...
I went and looked at the menu, and again, 12:30 at night is not the time to look at an amazing restaurant menu. That is not a good time, because then until you are satisfied, that is all you can think about. Yeah. So, Libby...
We could go through each item on the menu describing the deliciousness.
That's why you're here, to move this show along, right?
Oh,
okay, so let's move it along. My brother was in town yesterday, and he was asking me about, well, what's the deal with this drone situation?
Oh.
We talked, I think it was a couple weeks ago, The county has given space to Mighty Fly Drone Company to do testing of their commercial delivery missiles that they're building.
Did a vein pop in your neck when he asked you this? Because I know you're not happy.
No, I'm not. And they have a Coastside Buzz, which, let me just, as an aside, say Coastside Buzz right now. Go check that. CoastsideBuzz.com.
It's hot.
It is killing it right now. Killing it. Michelle Dragony, the Coastal Butterfly, is on fire right now. Like, you got the Half Moon Bay Review. You've got the Mid-Coast Community Council website. You've got the KHMB website. And, of course, this show. But, folks, if you are not hitting Coastside Buzz every day, you're missing out on
all the news you need to know.
Exactly. Exactly. It has now become a critical piece of the media infrastructure on the Coastside. Check it out. A ton of stories. And now we have a phone call. And let's see what is going on with that. Okay. Coastal. Now that could have been me with my fat fingers. I'm not sure. Or it could have just been somebody ding dong ditching us.
I hope not. Yeah. Call back.
Okay, call back. We'll be here for a while. So, anyways, she's killing it on Coastside Buzz, and they had some video of one of these drones being operated. So it's a tethered testing right now, which means that it's attached to a cable. But these drones will be autonomous, which means that there's not going to be somebody with a remote control flying it. It's going to be programmed to fly wherever and bloop,
like it'll be the on. Mars rover.
Yeah, it'll be less supervision than that. It'll be on
no
its own.
No parachutes.
Up to 500 pounds.
Good
up
God.
To 150 miles an hour. Up to 600 miles. Multiple delivery stops capable.
How's it going to be on a wire?
Well, this is just for its testing.
Okay.
In the future, it will not be on a wire. I just say to people, because my brother was like, yeah, what's the problem with that? Sounds like a good idea. I'm like, dude, folks, listen, please listen. This future is talking. This is a Rubicon, okay? If we go to this level where we're going to have all of these commercial delivery drones for your Wayfair, for your Amazon, for your whatever, think of what the sky is going to look like. And these are not like your little backyard, you know, Radio Shack. These
are gonna be a mess.
These are 500-pound, 150-mile-an-hour missiles. They have two sizes of these drones, 100-pound capacity and a 500-pound. They had video of the 100-pound. It looks like a small plane. It has wings. It has skis that it lands on, a little like
there landing platform. So many ways that this could go sideways. I have to tell you, this
will
go bad fast.
It is going to, and I say to people that this is a Rubicon. Once you cross this and you allow to have this kind of stuff, there's no coming back from this. There's not going to be like, oh, in 10 years we realize that having all these drones is not a good idea. Let's get rid of it. No, it will be there forever, and there will only be more. Bigger, faster of these drones, and pretty soon it's going to be, I call it the Blade Runner scenario. If you see that movie, any shot they have of the city, there's all kinds of little flying things at every level going everywhere. That's where we're going in 10 or 15 years. That's what your open skies will look like. So enjoy them now, because with these kind of drones, and these are not your little Radio Shack drones that fly around. These are huge.
These are not mosquitoes.
These are small airplanes. Okay. Coastside Buzz, go check that out. I'm a little annoyed at PG&E. They've been putting an ad on Nextdoor at the top, bragging about all their risk mitigation updates they've been doing.
Yes.
Okay. 300 new weather stations. Okay, they can't argue with that. That's great, weather stations. 180 hardened system miles. So now they have 548 total hardened system miles. Good, but why is that some bragging point? Why aren't they all hardened all the time? Okay, and then here's where blood vessel again.
Uh-oh.
I need a beer from Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. 135 additional high-definition cameras, so now they have 349 total, and the one they showed was literally out in a forest looking out over open space. And I just say, stop.
Yeah.
Like, I do not... This is exactly like the drones. We passed the social Rubicon with cameras 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and now they are everywhere in everything, and continuing to proliferate, and it's going to be the same with these flying devices. Now they are putting cameras out in remote wilderness areas for, you know, for public safety or whatever. You can't go anywhere now. You can't even go out into the middle of nowhere in the forest without the possibility that there's a high-definition camera capturing you on video. And that is the Rubicon we've crossed with privacy and cameras. And the same thing is going to happen with these drones. And believe me, these drones will have cameras on them at some point, too.
And I thought they would anyhow.
Who knows what other things they will have on them. Infrared sensing.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to have a camera on them. Yeah. I'm sure they are.
Right. They're going to have, I mean,
As it is, this is going to seem antiquated probably by tomorrow, but I mean, Amazon, who is now doing deliveries on Sundays up through, I've gotten deliveries as late as 10 o'clock at night on Sundays. Wow. And, but we, you know, you're going to hate this, but I have a Ring doorbell. So I had the motion detector go off and I see this guy standing there with a headlamp at the front of my door. And he has a dog and he's taking a picture of my front door. And I'm like, can I help you? He's like, I'm just dropping off a package. And this is when they first started using dark blue Sprinter vans, because those are relatively new. Those have just happened in the last year.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't even see it. I just saw hazard lights going and with some random truck. I couldn't see Amazon or anything. And I'm like, okay, well, if you could just leave it by the door. And no sooner did he get in the van than I got an email from Amazon with a picture of my front door and the package to prove that they had dropped it off. And while I liked that, and I knew then that it was an official delivery, and I knew that this guy was legit, I then went to feeling really badly for these delivery folks, because I would bring a dog with me, too. I mean, you're going to some strange house. You don't know who's going to come out and accost you. I mean, because it is a late. And if they're being forced by their company to do these deliveries late at night, you're going to come across some angry customers. And I'd want my dog kind of with me, too, even just to keep me company at night.
I would have to say, if you're coming to my house to deliver something after 9 p.m., you need to contact me ahead of time. Like, I don't want somebody ringing my
doorbell. Especially on a Sunday. That is like the last day of the week, the last bastion for like no deliveries, quiet time, and all that. And now it's gone. It's kind of like having Wi-Fi in a plane where, you know, you could actually look at that as a respite and not work for the most part or not be connected. That's gone.
See, these are all these Rubicons. Once you cross them, there's no going back.
Yep.
So you need to, before you cross them, you need to have a long consideration of what can happen, technology people and your drones.
Well, it's what will make us the most money.
Exactly.
That is what it comes down to, sadly.
Because the problem that is vexing the world today, that needs to be solved, that needs to have the greatest minds in our civilization working on, that is just dragging society down, is we have got to solve this problem of faster delivery of consumer goods.
Faster delivery of everything.
I'm being facetious here. Really, we've got global climate change.
I get it.
But this is what everybody's excited about, and what the future of technology is drone commercial delivery of commercial products.
I honestly don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. It is going to make delivery jobs basically obsolete. So they're going to be cutting millions of jobs.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be approved. What are these people going to do?
Have you met corporations? They don't care about people. They care about this. It's about cost and money. And if you can reduce...
Isn't
that the golden rule of business? Cut cost so that you increase your
wait pocket. Until all of the problems start happening and a 500-pound box drops on a car, kills a family on mm-hmm. the road, mm-hmm. or a drone happens to fly into a plane carrying 200 people. The lawsuits are going to cost them.
No, I guarantee, more than I guarantee all of it. Libby, right now, the lobbyists for these companies are already working on corrupt politicians to pass legislation that will shield and protect these drone companies from that exact kind of thing. Man. This is about money, and you ain't stopping money. So, moving on. All right, air quality report. It's wonderful. I always wonder, like, with the cloud cover, like...
Is it better?
Yeah, or worse.
Or worse.
Or worse, right? Because stuff gets trapped. And today doesn't really help me understand that at all, because the air quality is amazing. Let's remember, 0 to 50 is amazing, and I don't really need to go anywhere else on the scale, because fortunately for us out here on the coast side, we're almost always in the amazing range of 0 to 50, including today where El Granada's at 5.
Okay, that's
Half
good.
Moon Bay at 6, Redwood City at 10, and Santa Cruz at 16. Anywhere you go on the peninsula today is amazing air. So breathe
that's
it in.
Good.
Enjoy that. All right, a couple of... Do we have time for emails? I have to read the email, because at least a couple, because people send them to us, and that's
I
what we're
it.
Here for.
Are they all downers?
I think... I don't know.
You got to throw me a bone and at least one happy, uplifting one, or funny.
Funny?
I mean, I'm sure
here.
There's one in there about the Andretti Farm.
Okay, well, there's one about recycling. We talked about the recycling center.
Yep.
But this person seems upset about them, about there being a recycling center. Oh, actually, a funny line there.
Okay.
This is from Grease Fire 37 regarding recycling is back. Grease Fire 37 writes, what kind of stuff will they take at the new recycling center? It is so close to the creek. I hope there won't be any toxic chemicals there. Sounds like it will be a big mess. Maybe they should just focus on catalytic converters from Priuses. Okay. All
okay.
right. I mean, we've had that rash of catalytic converter thefts because apparently there's platinum in the catalytic converter that can be recycled or something.
Yeah.
So I don't think the recycling center is going to have catalytic converter recycling. I think it's going to focus primarily on cans and bottles.
Okay.
Because nothing else is worth anything. And the recycling company, it has to be something in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to haul a bunch of worthless junk over the hill that then they can't turn around and sell for something. So I think it's just going to be cans and maybe bottles. Here's an email about Tanitas Creek. Somebody's mad at the person who wrote us an email last week about Tanitas Creek. Remember there was somebody saying, why are you doing this? This is my party place.
Yes,
like,
yes.
So this person's mad at that person of like, why are you messing up? I'm a Smokey the Beach. Thank you for your email about Tanitas Creek and the guy from last week. But we get it. You're not happy with this person writing about their partying. But
well, right. I mean, the partying is what's causing the trash there, right? I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, what the...
Right. Well, I would say to Smokey the Beach, you should thank the guy from last week, the party boy, because... Because of all that partying, there was a huge mess, and the county came in and bought it, and now it's going to be a beautiful, clean park. So I guess you can look at
silver
the right
lining.
Side. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what I do all the time, right?
Is it?
I know. Isn't it?
Isn't it?
It isn't. Local landmark law, speaking of which, we'll just dive right into this. Yeah, last Friday, about 8:15 in the evening, you might have started to hear the fire trucks and everything. The Andreotti Produce Barn, the vintage, the classic wooden barn on Kelly, right there, can't miss it. Local landmark, burned to the ground in like an hour.
Oh my
god!
Because
you think about it, it's over 100-year-old.
The photos
planks.
I received from my friends who live in the surrounding area was horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. It's a pile of ash.
I'm just heartbroken for the family, for the town. It's been such a landmark and so important, over all of these years to the growth of our community.
You go around town up and again from Pescadero to Montera, and occasionally you see, like in El Granada, there's still a couple of properties where you see like an old water tower or an old barn. Mm-hmm. There's a couple in El Granada, old barns, like vintage barns from like, you know, turn of the century or 1910 when El Granada was founded. And they're important because they harken back to the agricultural history of this community, and they're a tie back to 100 years ago. Think of all the think of all the people, all the coastsiders in the last 100 years that have walked through that Andreotti barn, right? Or all of the visitors who have walked past it, everybody who's admired it because it of its classic look, right? I mean, it's just one of these classic things. So it was a two-alarm fire, 35 firefighters, 9 trucks. The Andreotti said that when they bought the property there in 1926, the barn was already there. So
really?
Yeah. So
wow.
It's not quite known when the barn appeared. I'm sure we can go to some historical photos, but it's an old barn. And Don Andreotti, one of the family members, said it was like losing a family member.
Of course.
Absolutely. So a GoFundMe page has been set up, and the family said they're going to continue to try to operate their produce stand, which is what the barn was serving at, down the street at the driving range.
Okay.
Which... When I read about the... So I was really sad about the barn. And then I was even sadder when I read an article about the barn burning down, because it said that if you've ever been to the driving range on Kelly...
I have.
What... One thing that I... And I've been taking my son there since he was 2.5 to the driving range. And one of the reasons we always love to go there is because they had a llama there.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I named Tony Llama, right?
Of course.
And we loved... And then... A few years back, and so my son and I would all, and you know, llamas are a bit saturnine, a bit taciturn, right?
Yes.
A bit grumpy.
Yeah.
But we would always go over and talk to him, and he would raise his head and, you know, listen. But he seemed lonely. Well, a couple years ago, they got him a horse as a companion.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
So I read in the article that both the horse and the llama have died.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Jeez, like it could get any worse.
I know. So, I mean...
Whose horse and llama was it?
I think it was the Andreotti's.
No.
So, just a tough time for the family. And
so, is all of that property theirs and the golf folks leased from them?
I don't... There was some...
Not that it's important. I was just wondering.
On a review and you read the articles, of course, there's always got to be these people. Somebody wrote some, you know, negative comments about how, like, why is there a GoFundMe? This family is, like...
For the love of Pete.
Rich, you know, local landowners that recently sold, like, 60 acres or something. So I think they do own... I don't care about that right now. The barn burned down.
Mourning the loss of the barn for this family and the community.
Right. There's no equivocation. The barn burned down. I don't care if they're millionaires or they're not millionaires. This structure was lost, and it hurts everybody.
It was part of the history of our community, guys.
And
if
people want to, you know, contribute to a fund to rebuild a new barn or something so that they feel like they're part of that, well, what's the skin off of your nose, you know, person that wrote the negative comments? But... To answer your question, Libby, I think they do own a lot of property Kelly.
That's fine. I was just wondering, since the llama and horse weren't directly next to that farm.
Yeah, like, I think there's a couple of houses in between.
Right.
But the driving range is behind there, and it's a big area.
Yeah, it is.
So I think, I would say they own dozens of acres.
Well, I am just so sorry for that loss.
Absolutely. It reminds me of, it reminds me of on... What happened on this date? Coastsiders. Okay, Coastsiders. You know what? Maybe I'll just throw this date out there in regard to this story.
Should I Google it fast?
No.
No?
No.
Is that cheating?
No. Don't answer. Think about it in your mind. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. Coastsiders, this is for you. Okay, right now.
Oh, I think I know.
560-9851. What happened on May 21st, 2003 that reminds me... of this story that we're talking about.
Oh, sorry.
May 21st, 2003, Coastsiders, give us a call, 560-9851. I know somebody out there knows that it's 9:32.
I thought you were trying to find out what happened today, the 19th of February.
No, I don't know.
Isn't today, like, George Washington's birthday or something? Not. You clearly don't care.
I'm not.
No. Okay.
May 21st, okay. 2003, Coast Sutters. Give me a call. Okay. Give us a call. Libby, here we go.
All right.
Fasten on your water wings. New idea. I mean, I don't know if it's new. It's maybe, I'm going to call it revolutionary idea for a public swimming pool. The Half Moon Bay Yacht Club out there in Princeton Harbor. You're a member, aren't you?
I am. Nice. Yes.
Okay, the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club has been trying to develop plans for a new floating dock. They have I think they have something right now that's pretty rickety,
very attractive. Yeah, it's pretty rickety.
Not very attractive.
You know what, though? It goes along with the ambiance and air quotes of the whole yacht club. You know what? It's just a fun place to gather. It's not a swanky place. It's not supposed to be a swanky place. It's just supposed to be where folks can gather and hang out at the beach, hang out at the picnic tables, take out their sailboat, take out their kayak.
So it's not like the yacht club in Caddyshack, the Bushwood.
Nowhere near that. And honestly, that makes it more approachable.
Here we go. Here it is.
All right, get
right
ready.
Now. All right. This is Ruben Truthmaker with Libby Streetwise. Who are we talking with this morning?
Penny Packer.
Okay. Now, Penny Packer, I have to stop you right now. If you're calling about May 21st, 2003, I know that you do not live in this. You are not allowed to answer this question. This must be answered by...
Oh, but I know the answer because I was there.
You were there? You were here? Really? You were living... Yep. Wow. Okay, well, that almost qualifies you to answer this. But I'm sorry. I have to withhold this particular...
Man, beggars can't be choosers, dude.
No,
this is the one call we get.
This is a call to arms to Coastsiders.
Okay. All right.
Come on. You live here.
Sorry,
you
Penny.
Love it here. We've got a person who was here at that time, who remembers it, who's calling, who I won't let give the answer because it needs to be someone right here in this
Tough
area
love.
Code. Okay, so Penny Packer, you know what happened.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just text T-Bone. Since I'm being shoved aside for favoritism.
Is this on like Instagram or something? Are all the Coastal Windage listeners in some kind of ring or something out there?
Next door.
Huh. Okay. All right. Well, that would work, but I need a Coastsider listening right now to tell me. We were just talking about the Andreotti barn fire, sadly.
No.
And it reminded me of this incident that occurred on the coast side, May 21st, 2003. Okay. Anything else? I'm sorry to dismiss you, Penny Packer. Our number one most prolific caller, our number one fan who answered the call with the answer, and I'm sure it's correct. I don't even have to, like, vet that. I'm sure it is correct. But I'm holding this one back as a plum to give to a Coastsider who's going to call. I know a Coastsider's
going to
call.
You're very confident in that, huh?
What else you got for me this morning, Penny Packer?
Nothing. I just listened to your show last week, and I feel bad for your sibling who had to suffer your trivia mishap. That must have hurt.
Wowzer!
Okay, of all of the things that you want to talk about from past shows, one of my most humiliating moments in my life, that's the one you want to remind folks about. Anybody that didn't listen to the show last week, go ahead and listen to it if you want to hear Truthmaker brought down to his lowest point.
I really felt for your sibling. That just really had to hurt.
Hopefully
they forgave you.
I don't know because I haven't forgiven myself. It was... It was a bad... It was bad.
Oh,
so, almost like a cheap suit you'd leave in a hotel after a wedding, right?
Or give to a homeless person on the street. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not proud of everything that I've done in my life. Let's just say that. I'll join most of the folks out there, I guess.
Yes.
But I am proud of the show, and I'm proud of you for calling in. Thank you for...
Thanks for calling, Penny.
And we will talk more the next time you call, but I got to give this one to a current Coastsider. But it's nice to know because we have a little backstory that Penny Packer used to be here. She was here. She was here on May 21st, 2003.
Okay. Well, we will keep keep trucking. See if we can get a co-signer. Thank you, Penny.
Thanks, Betty Packer.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Okay. So while we wait for a current co-signer to give us a call, we're talking about the new floating dock design for the yacht
yes.
club. You know what would make the ambiance of the, just as an aside, the ambiance of the yacht club a little nicer?
Right.
I mean, it's got a nice, comfortable, casual feel, which
yes.
is good, right?
Yeah, it is.
However, the burned out hulk of a building that's right at the entrance to the street to...
It's like a warehouse.
That's missing a wall and has like a bunch of burnt stuff and a couple of abandoned trucks inside of it. Kind of takes a little bit away from the like the gateway to the yacht club.
I would also really love... a road, like a paved road.
But isn't that some of the like character of it? Of like, it's still a dirt road, you know?
Still a dirt road that honestly is just waiting for my car to get dinged because there's no way I can ever pull that. I have such a huge, like, behemoth of a car that I don't even attempt to go down that road unless it's a day like today and no one's there. And I back in so I can just pull straight out. But honestly, it's just, if it was just paved and lined, it would just certainly make this person a lot happier.
I'm sure it's going to happen. I mean, like, the county really would love for Princeton to look like Sausalito. But there's...
They're going to have a lot of work to do to make that happen.
I personally love... The whole character of Princeton,
including the misfittiness.
Yes, including the car, the lots with just cars parked, you know, like surplus cars, the overgrown lots, the burned out buildings, the dirt roads. That to me,
what a selling point.
Well, that's Princeton. It's a wharf. It's a
I love
it's
the
a harbor town. It's an industrial
and fishing. Like the boats and the crab pots and all that.
Yeah,
I don't like abandoned cars.
Well, they're not abandoned. They're surplus vehicles.
But. You get my gist.
Yeah,
like, I would rather stick with the theme of the harbor.
Well, a harbor is not a clean, tidy place. It has, you know, you need yards where you store crab pots and you have ships that are boats.
Well, you mentioned Sausalito.
Sausalito, I don't know
that I want it to be Sausalito,
yeah.
But they could clean it up a bit. And thankfully, you know what? I think that starting with Jetty Wave Distillery and even the Brewco Conference Center that they have over there, I think they're really working on it. And even the fitness place, they've started to, and it's done in a classy yet inconspicuous kind of, it's not like in your face, we're trying to get brand name
gentrifying Princeton. Okay,
yeah.
We've got another phone call.
They've done a nice job.
Coastal Windage, Ruben Truthmaker, and Libby Streetwise, who are we talking with this morning?
This is T-Bone.
Wait a minute.
You cannot draw another line in the sand here.
I just was hoping that somebody would be like, yes, I know what you're talking about. T-Bone,
did
you get a text from somebody just now?
Wasn't me.
Yeah,
busted. I mean, there is a Coastal Windage chat group.
I know. Well, really? I was just theorizing that there was
there's
such a
thread
thing.
On Nextdoor going right now to answer your question.
Nice.
Exactly. But I knew the answer. I just was busy cleaning the kitchen, so I wasn't able to call. And so Penny Packer beat me, but you shot her down, so I gave me time to call.
Okay, nice. T-Bone, I'm checking our database here. You are in El Granada, it says here. So, okay, you are a legitimate co-signer here now who claims to know what happened on May 21st, 2003. What happened, T-Bone?
The Cunha Country Store burned down.
It
did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a six alarm fire, 100 firefighters.
And you said the farm was a two alarm.
Yeah, that was a two alarm with 35. So think of how big the Cunha one.
Wow.
Yeah, six alarm, 100, 25 trucks.
I was on 92 when coming home from work, and a fire truck came roaring west, and I was obviously going west to come home, and it was, of course, you know, really bad traffic, because I think it was like around 5 or 6 in the evening, and so everybody was coming home from work, and so to have these at least two huge, you know, huge fire trucks come roaring down, it was very scary, like what was going on, you know?
What determines the alarm number? Do you know? Like,
I have no idea.
Cunha is downtown around other places versus the farm that was kind of a
Coastliner, if you know, give us a call. I know we have lots of first responders that are listening. T-Bone, what you're describing, that's why I mentioned it, because it's one of those things, like, if you were here on that day, it was a memorable day. The smoke I was riding my bicycle back from Pescadero, and I remember coming up Highway 1, and you could see the smoke from 10 miles
really?
Away.
Really?
Yeah, and you could hear the sirens, and as you got closer to town, you could feel the energy of like something is happening here that's pretty incredible, and not in a good way.
Did you go downtown?
Yeah,
I did.
I came down Main Street on my bike because I was coming north from Pescadero. I came down Main Street as close as you could get. And
how close could you get?
Like a block away. Huh. They had a cordon around on Main Street.
So scary. And so how old is Cunha?
So
the general store
in 2003 was over 100 years old.
Wow.
It was one of the Bay Area's last original general stores. You know, these general stores where in the old days in a frontier town, they would sell everything, right?
Yeah.
And it still is, it's been rebuilt in kind of that mode. But the old one, the creaky wooden floors
You can't replace that.
And that's why I mentioned it, because it's one of those events of like you kind of remember where you were and what you were doing the day that Cunha General Store burned down, because it was such a spectacle.
Mm.
And it happened. You know, the thing about the Andreotti barn burning down is it happened at night.
Yeah.
Right. So there wasn't the visual spectacle. You heard the sirens and saw the lights and everything, but you couldn't see the smoke in the air. The Cunha fire, the smoke was just this gigantic plume that you could see, like I said, you could see from miles away, and you'd hear the sirens, and it was still light out. And as T-Bone said, she was commuting home from work on 92. Like, you remember that day. So,
wow.
T-Bone, thanks for answering our call.
Was there a prize, Ruben? No, just knowing that you got the answer right is prize enough.
Accolades from Coastal Windows.
I seem to recall just moments ago, Penny Packer was again lauded with number one fan.
You gotta watch that, Ruben.
You're right. You're right. I mean, a person would say, how can the number one fan not live on the coast side?
Exactly.
It's a good point. It's an excellent point. However, I would have to go and check the call logs. I think if we look at just a quantitative analysis, Penny Packer might be the most prolific caller. Let's say that. Most prolific. But
that's true.
How about we give you this? You are our most prolific and favorite Coastside caller. How about that?
Yeah, and beloved, right?
Oh, beloved.
Beloved,
right.
That is
exactly
a good word.
All right. T-Bone, we got to get on. We still haven't, I haven't even, like, revealed what this amazing swimming pool idea is yet. I can't get into it.
That.
Okay, well, thank you for the call.
Thanks, T-Bone.
Great answer. Thanks for playing the game with us.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye.
All right. So the floating dock, they've got a new design.
Yes.
It's a circle. As traditional docks have like a long extending piece that goes out at a 90 degree angle from the shoreline, and then it has a piece that kind of bisects it and to make kind of like a T that's kind of parallel to the coastline. These are expensive to build because that T section has to be customized to the shoreline, to the specific shoreline characteristics. This new design has a extending piece that goes from the shoreline out, and then it's a big, huge ring. So think of a ring with a...
Nothing
in the center.
Coastside Buzz.
And this ring is wide enough that it has many features in this ring that goes around. And the kind of the revolutionary idea of this dock is this ring is basically Lego pieces that are modular, that are identical, that just you just keep blocking them together into a ring. And so there's not any custom pieces, and it can be built anywhere. It's not specific to the shoreline because it's out away from the shoreline. And this ring is wide enough that here's some of the features that they have for this new dock. CoastsideBuzz.com is the place to go to check this out. Okay, it's 1,000-foot circumference. So if you can, it's hard to envision that, but 1,000 feet around, right? Yep. 300 feet across. So we're talking a good size here. It has landscaping on this circular dock. ADA access with really graceful curving ramps. In March 2015, the Yacht Club made a presentation to the Midcoast Community Council with a previous concept for a new floating dock that was traditional, pretty boring, and met with a kind of a meh, which is why they went looking for another design. And one of the features of that previous design was ADA access with really ungraceful, clumsy kind of back and forth ramps that
this looks beautiful.
Yeah, these are graceful curving. So what else does it have? It has a wailing wall stage. So it has a stage area with benches and then with some nice relief carvings of whales on the wall behind it.
Nice.
It has an Ohlone village with two reconstructed Ohlone structures. So pretty cool. And Livy.
Yes.
As part of the design, it has a swimming pool built into this circular dock. Heated, filtered saline pool.
You know what? I thought the entire...
Not the entire side.
Now I'm just looking at this little thing over here. That's the pool? Do you know the dimensions of that pool? Well, or is that a hot tub?
It's it's not an Olympic-sized pool, no.
Oh.
Well, all right.
I thought everything in the middle was going to be the pool.
No, that's going to be like there's going to be little rowboats in there, and you can float back and forth, and you know. Okay.
Beggars can't be choosers.
But it's a good point. If that pool's not big enough, okay, we got a phone call. Let's see if we got anybody. Okay, this is Coastal Windage. Livy Streetwise with Ruben Truthmaker here. Who are we talking with this morning?
Hello.
That's strike two on. So we've had two successful phone calls. Two whiffs.
A hang up. And one heavy breather, maybe?
A creeper.
A creeper.
Okay. Let's see. So a good thing. You're right, though. If this pool is not a functional, I would say. It's gotta at least be. This is the minimum size pool for me. It's the pool at PT Bailey. It has got to be at least that size because that pool is barely big enough to have like some people in
an
there
adult
swimming.
Hot tub party. I mean, it needs to be at least 25 meters in length, at least.
So now we've got to like okay, you are. I've been an advocate for the swimming pool, and you're a swimmer, so you know more about this. When I saw the design, I thought, oh, great, it's got a swimming pool. It didn't occur to me the practicality of the fact that... here we go. Now, this one's going to happen, I know. Ruben Truthmaker and Livy Streetwise here with Coastal Windage. Who are we talking with this morning?
You're talking to the Coastal Butterfly.
Okay.
Coastal Butterfly.
Just crushing it lately. Crushing it.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, so, I thought I'd speak to the Princeton Ring. It's not meant to be a competitive pool. It would be cheaper if you were to create a competitive pool out of such a ring and put it in the harbor. One of the things that makes this ring so unique from an engineering perspective is it can be replicated relatively easily, and its interface with the land is minimal. Usually docks are embedded into the coastline. And in this case, you can just sort of plop this circular thing, which is 1,000 square feet in circumference. So it's really large. So even though this is just a mock-up, it's not planned, the pool can actually be made as long and wide as you want.
Oh, right? I like that.
Yeah, it will need to be.
But it's never going to be a competitive pool. What I consider it to be is the pool for people who don't have any money, and they want to have a public space where they can learn how to swim so that when they get to be 8 years old, they'll be able to swim the two laps that allow them to become junior guard, which is the cheapest child care on the coast at $100 a week. And the reason why it's so cheap is it's literally a feeder for a career. And we've got a lot of people that are in the mobile home park just a little ways away, and they actually have a pool in there, and it doesn't get used. My play group used to use it because we all knew how to swim. But if you don't know how to swim, then you don't know how to use even a recreational pool. So with building that pool, I will also develop a swimming tutor system, you know, so that the kids do know how to, like, hold their breath and, you know, move their arms and their legs and synchronicity and stuff like that. I mean, I used to keep swimming. It's not that difficult, really, isn't it?
Now, is there a reason it can't be a competitive pool? Like, why couldn't it be a 25-meter, six-lane?
This is really sort of the mecca for sailing and paddling. And you can have a little bit of a swimming pool in there. But, again, there are other ways that you can get people onto a dock, say, at the road, like at Columbia. That's another road that goes to the end, and you could have another dock right there. And that dock could be the competitive swimming pool dock. But you'd have to do a lot of infrastructure things because there's no parking. The idea really is to have the competitive pool up at the high school. And Sean McFetridge had an idea of putting it down actually in the school district spaces. So, Livy, if you want to follow up on this, it's a hot thing. And I think there's enough money on the coast if we had another stab at it. Our generation didn't make it, but
I did work on it for a little while.
Yeah,
and
she was on the committee.
I was roadblocked multiple times, and I'm kind of I'm exhausted from the whole thing. I was so excited to see these plans, though. So
we do what we can.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Well, what I like is the new thinking. Okay, like let's go to a new paradigm on this, around a circular dock with features in it. I mean, the features to me are exciting, and Livy makes a good point. The pool could be a little larger, but the fact that they're thinking of additional amenities for this dock rather than just a wood planking that goes out into the water with
the landscaping, the whaling wall,
the Ohlone Village. I'm very excited about the ideas here. And the details, I mean, those can be worked out. But the ideas are very exciting to me, I feel.
Well, thanks. And I want to give credit to Kelly Pike and the MCC. He presented this to the MCC looking for funding, and it was a quasi, you know, public-private thing. And the MCC gave really, you know, articulate and intelligent feedback, and Kelly went with it. And he's created something that's 100% public. But yet the yacht club will be able to dock their boats at, and Half Moon Bay Kayak. They're interested in getting having another space out on this side of the harbor. So it's a concept drawing, and it would have to go through public comments, of course, and get a CDP and all that kind of stuff. So there'd be plenty of time for people to comment. And one of the comments people have a problem with is parking.
The parking
can be solved, like in most beach cities. The Oceano sits empty 80%. Because they've gone from having one hotel room with a car to having people use Uber.
Well, one of the things, people need to go to Coastside Buzz and check out not only the design, but the whole thing is novel in the sense of, like, not only the dock design concept, but Coastal Butterfly has really presented some interesting ideas for what could be done with this dock and how to fund this dock. Ideas that are pretty pretty forward thinking, and if not practical in their exact way that they've presented on CoastalBuzz.com, CoastsideBuzz.com, they are inventive ideas that we can maybe build upon and find a way to move forward on this. Funding ideas, use for the structure, partnerships. There's a lot of incredible ideas in this one post, and I really recommend people go and check it out.
Can I ask a question really fast? So, Coastside Butterfly, is there me and my dinosaur technology ways, I was not able to find a recent article on about this. The one I could find on your site was the 2019 article. Was there a more recent one that I'm missing?
Well, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your show and I'm going to create a brand new post.
Ah, nice, nice.
So I do send that post out periodically. I think I've got like hundreds of shares at this point, so quite a few people have seen it. But I keep the date there because the way search engine optimization works, if I change the titles and I lose my shareaholic score at the bottom, I can't keep track.
Exactly. Back to my dinosaur ways. I don't know these things. So, okay, I leave that up to the professionals like yourself. Okay.
But stay tuned. I will have the Princeton Ring back up on the homepage within the next day or so.
Great.
With your podcast.
Fantastic.
Thank you, guys. Well,
thank you.
Michelle Dragony, the Coastal Butterfly. CoastsideBuzz.com. Go check it out. Thank you, Michelle. Really appreciate
it. Thanks, Ruben. Thanks, Libby.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. We have 2 minutes. Check that out. Really cool. Real quick COVID update. Back to school. It's now being serious discussion about whether the kids are going to go back to school at Cabrillo Unified School District. Town hall, virtual town hall, this Tuesday, the 23rd at 6, the 23rd? No, this whatever Tuesday is coming up at 6 p.m., Superintendent Dr. Sean McFetridge will address questions relating to the return of the school. What date was that?
23rd? The 23rd. Tuesday the 23rd.
Half Moon Bay Review editor Clay Lambert will read the questions. You can submit questions up till today and see all the other questions submitted so far. Go to Nextdoor. You can search on Nextdoor or the Cabrillo Unified School District website for the Zoom link and the link to the questions already asked. Also, starting on Monday, San Mateo County will expand its vaccination rollout to Phase 1B, and this includes teachers, childcare providers, first responders, food and agricultural workers. So teachers starting on the 22nd, that moves us another step forward towards kids being in school. I asked the checker at Safeway if they were going to be included in Phase 1B, but he didn't think so. But the county website says, quote, certain grocery store employees as limited vaccine supply allows, unquote. Okay, 84% of COVID fatalities in San Mateo County have been people 65 or older, and those were the people that were focused on in Phase 1A. My mother-in-law, who's in her 80s, just got her first shot Wednesday at the SFO long-term parking garage. So far, of the 780,000 San Mateo County residents, 84,000 have been vaccinated. That's about 11%. We need about 70% for herd immunity. So we got a ways to go. And on our way out the door, you asked for a funny email. The only one I could find is at my expense. But
that's okay.
Yeah, whatever. I figured that would not be a problem for anybody listening. So here we go. All right. This is from email Kirk Double Chop. Regarding the drones, Kirk Doublechop writes, I'm fine with commercial drones. They serve a purpose. The biggest, most annoying drone on the coast side hosts this radio show, and it ain't living.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. I hate ending on that note.
Note to self. Learn to quit while you're ahead on the emails. So, okay. Kirk Double Chop, thanks for that one.
Oh, ouch. That hurt.
All right. Well, we're done droning on for this morning, and we will be back next Friday at 9 a.m. We're here every Friday morning, 9 to 10 a.m. It's a live show. We take phone calls. We talk to Coastsiders. We focus on Coastside topics and issues, and we love doing it because we love the Coastside. All right, Coastsiders, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next Friday.
Bye-bye.
Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.